Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The last verse of Peter's second epistle is also one of the most familiar verses in the entire epistle, perhaps the most familiar, and indeed one of the most familiar in all the New Testament scriptures. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now it goes on to say, "To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." That last part, the closing doxology, is familiar sounding, but is not generally quoted in connection with the first part of the verse. But that first part, that final exhortation of this epistle, is widely quoted and is a common exhortation for the people of God, as well it should be. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And as we have already seen, this is necessary to keep us from straying, to keep us from being like those who twist the scriptures to their own destruction. What's the defense against that? "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We've also learned that it is a constant activity. It is something that we must give ourselves to regularly, continually, or we will fall into spiritual decline. We must continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no time when we can coast in that regard. We've got to be growing all the time. We do this, we have learned, by keeping our focus upon Jesus Christ. We are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are doing this by increasing our knowledge. And that's the part that we want to take up on this Thursday, July 30. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for the gifts that keep the Beacon Broadcast airing on this station. Grow in grace and knowledge. Now, I talked a little bit on the broadcast yesterday about how to increase in grace, and that's more difficult than the second one, namely how to increase in knowledge. But they're joined together, and I think we need to understand there is a very close connection, a necessary connection. Do you want to grow in grace? Whatever that means, but we'll just leave it hanging for the moment. Do you want to grow in grace? Then grow in knowledge. Someone would say, well, it's impossible for us to do anything to grow in grace. After all, grace is God's part. Knowledge is at least in part our part. We know that our knowledge, a proper understanding of God's Word, is dependent upon the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, but it also requires our diligence, our effort, our study, our paying attention, our interest in the Word of God, and eagerness to dig it out and to understand it. We understand the part about growing in knowledge, but how do we grow in grace if grace is what comes to us from God without merit, without anything that we can do to deserve it? How can we grow in grace? Well, I would suggest to you, number one, that we grow in grace as we grow in the knowledge of Christ. That would be suggested by verse 3 of the opening verses of this epistle. as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. Listen to that again. As his divine power, that would be grace, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. God's grace is connected in some way to our knowledge, our growing in knowledge. I don't know that I can explain the connection exactly, but I just see it. I see it in our text for today. I see it in the verse that I just read in chapter 1, verse 3. I see it other places in the scriptures. I see this connection that in the life of the believer, grace is connected to knowledge. I don't think it is an unbreakable connection. I'm not saying that that's the only way that grace is dispensed, but I am saying that there does seem to be an increase of God's grace as we increase in knowledge. How to explain that, how to describe that, I'm not sure that I can, but I'm simply pointing it out. We grow in grace as we grow in knowledge. It's interesting that this word grow, or this word knowledge rather, in verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the simple word for knowledge, gnosis, not epignosis. Now, I don't want to get too technical here, but most Greek scholars say that gnosis, the simple word and the root word, which has the idea of knowledge, or when it's used in the verb form, to acquire knowledge, to be active in collecting knowledge. And most Greek scholars say that it differs from epignosis, which has the prefix on it, in that epignosis is the fuller knowledge and usually is described in terms of adding experience to information. Knowledge is information. Epignosis is information filtered through or connected to the experiences of our Christian life. Well, I find that explanation helpful, but I just simply point out that in this particular text, Peter talks about knowledge, simply the acquiring of information. It's the simple word, gnosis. Not epignosis. Gnosis is simply gaining greater understanding of Scripture, greater knowledge about Christ as a result of studying his self-revelation, the things that he has revealed to us about himself in the book we call the Bible. Gnosis is a growing understanding about Christ, which results in a deepening experience with Christ, but the thing that we can do is to apply ourselves to gathering information. And the emphasis here is upon understanding, upon what we might call cognitive knowledge, the knowledge that we acquire by grasping things with our mind, by thinking through things with our mind, by logically putting together information with our mind. It is cognitive knowledge. There's a different Greek word that has to do more with possessed knowledge than acquired knowledge, but this is the one that has to do with acquired knowledge. You say, what is possessed knowledge? Or we could say even intuitive knowledge. Well, there's some knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives to all of God's children in connection with regeneration. We have to have some basic knowledge. We have to have some spiritual understanding before we will believe in Christ. And so there is a knowledge that is possessed simply by the operation of the Holy Spirit to make us children of God. But then there is knowledge that is acquired by our applying our minds to the information that is delivered to us through the Bible. God has given us a great deal of information about himself, and it is the responsibility of every Christian to apply his mind to that knowledge. Sometimes we find language that says, apply your heart unto knowledge. And I have gathered that that virtually is one and the same thing. We tend to make a great distinction between heart and mind, as if heart has to do with one thing, affections, and mind has to do with intellect and study, and that there are things that we can acquire apart from study that God is just going to give to the Christian directly. Well, I've just suggested that there is a knowledge in that category that comes to us initially at conversion, but after that, dear friend, any additional knowledge that we gain only comes as a result of our applying our minds to the Scriptures. If we're not willing to do that, we're not going to gain additional information, though we may think we have. But what we will gain will be misinformation. It will mislead us. We think we have this intuitive knowledge. I've known a lot of Christians who did, who just think that God reveals things to them directly without their having to acquire it by the process of applying their mind unto knowledge. But the Bible doesn't indicate that. We've got to work at it. We've got to dig. We've got to study. We've got to listen. We've got to think. We've got to meditate. What does it mean to meditate upon Scripture? There is an Oriental style of meditation that depends upon emptying your mind so that it can receive these intuitive thoughts. That actually is not only the opposite of what the Bible teaches, but is actually dangerous. And that's not what the Bible is talking about when it's talking about meditation. The Bible is talking about taking a text of Scripture, a thought from Scripture, a concept that comes to us from the Bible, and thinking about it, and turning it over in your mind, and looking at it from this angle, and looking at it from that angle, and breaking it apart, and putting it together, and thinking about connected verses, and doing the work that is necessary to come to a thorough understanding of that statement. That comes through meditation. You say, well, that sounds an awful lot like study. Indeed, it is. And it's study that is engaged in thoughtfully and prayerfully. That's one reason why I'm not a big fan of computer tools for Bible study. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not opposed to them. I think they have their place. And I recognize they can be a time saver, but I'm a little concerned about this whole concept of trying to save time when we are studying Scripture, because so much of what we gain from Scripture can only be gained by slow, deliberate, thoughtful meditation, not by quick, pile up the information. We need the information to meditate upon it. But if all we're doing is gathering information and are not meditating upon it, I don't think we're going to get where we need to go. But all of this requires the exercise of the mind. Study with your mind. Grow in grace and knowledge, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the more you apply your heart unto knowledge, the more of God's grace you will experience. So take these thoughts to heart and apply them to your practice. Until we gather together again tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.